Let me hear you say, let's, oh yeah, oh yeah. In a light in the dark land, since thou hast placed in my heart all the Lord's command, he set thee up a nation to cast thy enemies away. He's standing there before you. So let me hear you say, we're blessed. We're blessed. We can handle every stronghold sin. In a light in the dark land, since thou hast placed in my heart all the Lord's command, he set thee up a nation to cast thy enemies away. He's standing there before you. So let me hear you say, we're blessed. We're blessed. We can
yeah. what prayer can do. Well, help me lift up a praise today in the house to our Lord and Savior, because I have seen what prayer can do. Amen? Prayer changes things. Prayer changes us. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this another Lord's Day. We thank you for this another opportunity to expound upon your word, God. Lord, come into this service and have your way, Lord. Move among us, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, decrease me that and increase you, Lord. Preach through me, Lord. Have your way. Speak to your people, God. For I'm your woman and this is your church. All these and other blessings I ask in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen. I know what prayer can do. Again, Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. The baby who changed everything. And this is sort of a mixed youth message as well today. So I'm glad to see that we have youth in the church today. Amen. Amen. Now the baby boy began to grow. So Joseph and Mary took Jesus, who was now 12 years of age, to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And we know the feast of the Passover was celebrated because Pharaoh had to let God's people go. He had to let them go. And when he saw, when the death angel saw the mark of the lamb, the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, he passed by those houses. But the ones that didn't, he took the firstborn son. Amen. Now, when the celebration was over, they obviously left in a hurry and the hustle and bustle of the crowd. And they must have thought Jesus was somewhere in the group. But the Bible says it wasn't until a day later that they started asking the kinfolks who they were traveling with, saying, where is Jesus? Has anybody seen Jesus? Now, you may ask yourself, how could they leave Jesus behind? Wasn't this the same child that was told to Mary by the angel that she found favor with God and that she would bring forth a son through the power of the Holy Spirit with the help of no man, and she shall call him Jesus? How could they leave Jesus behind? Isn't this the same child that the angels spoke of, the shepherds abiding in their field, saying unto them, for unto you this day is born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. How could they leave Jesus behind? Isn't this the same child that the wise men came from afar to visit and were told in a dream of Herod's plans and they went home a different way? Isn't this the same child? How could they leave Jesus behind, knowing that after he was born, they had to take him down to Egypt for 2 long years because of King Herod had heard that he was the Christ child and he was afraid of his throne and he sought to kill him? How could they leave Jesus behind? Because you see, I'm sure that in the beginning, there was much excitement in the air. Mary's little baby, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, her son, look at him. He is wonderful. Now let's talk to the ones of us who have professed to have been Christians for a while. Right. I could imagine that in the beginning there was much excitement about Jesus. Yeah. And maybe after 12 short years the excitement began to wear off. Yeah. Or maybe we had gotten used to having Jesus around. Maybe our relationship had gotten cold. And maybe sometimes we take for granted that Jesus would always be there through our ins and outs. Yeah. Yeah. And oh yes, he will. But it's not that he had forgotten us. Is that we have forgotten him. Amen. But on this day, they was busy trying to get somewhere and they ended up leaving Jesus behind. Well, I'm sorry to tell you today that sometimes we've gone off and done the same thing. We've left Jesus behind. Oh, you know how when you first got saved, you couldn't get enough of Jesus. It was Jesus this and Jesus that. And everywhere you went, you had your Bible under your hand, under your arm, and you couldn't talk about anything but Jesus. You went to church on Sunday morning, Bible study on Wednesday. You came to church whenever the doors was open. And that includes evening services, even though they didn't serve dinner. But now, Some of us find ourselves back searching and asking, where is Jesus? Has anybody seen my Lord? Now, young people, there's nothing wrong with trying to get somewhere in life, but don't get so busy that you go off and leave Jesus behind. Amen. Don't get so busy getting your education that you leave Jesus behind. Amen. Don't get so busy trying to be popular that you leave Jesus behind.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Don't get so busy dating that you leave Jesus behind. Don't forget about where you came from that you leave Jesus behind. Don't get so busy being busy that you go off and leave Jesus behind. Because, see, no one like Jesus. There is no one like you. You tell your friends all of your secrets, but sometimes they'll let you down. Sometimes they're going to tell somebody. But, see, if you tell Jesus, he won't tell anybody. If you tell Jesus, he's going to make it all right. See, the Bible says Jesus will stick with you closer than a brother. And he's the best thing that could ever happen to you. All you have to do is trust him. Forrest Gump says life is like a box of chocolates. But sometimes it's like a box of cereal. Like life cereal. You only have one life to live, so make the best of it. Like Total cereal. He has 100% of everything you need. Like Cheerios. Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Like Frosted Flakes. He's great. The Bible is like the alphabet cereal. It spells it all out for you. And yes, I'm telling you the truth, because tricks are for kids. And that's why we got to protect our kids. That's why we got to grow them up in the admonition of the Lord. Because our children mean so much to us, but we only have 18 short years to make an impression upon them. And after that, they got to lean back on what they've learned. Amen? Oh, and I know, and I want you to know that only what you do for Christ will last. Yes, the Lord wants you to make it. He wants you to enjoy your life, but at what cost? People will step on people. People will step on people trying to get up the ladder. They'll do it by any means possible. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care who they walk on. All they want is what they want. And they'll lie, beg, borrow, and steal, and some will even kill. Amen? Now, Joseph and Mary, I could just imagine that they were frantic when they made the quick turnaround trying to find Jesus. You see, that's the key. When we know we are out of the will of God, we've got to make a quick turnaround. We've got to let the Father know, I am seeking you because I know I have done wrong and I need you. Because Jesus will come after you. He's the good shepherd. He's the shepherd that will leave the 99 and go after that one. Because he will welcome you back with arms open wide. Won't he do it? Because young folks, that's where your parents will come in. They will do the same thing for you. They will go looking for you everywhere. They will go to the kin people. They will go to all of your friends. They'll post your picture on social media trying to find you. They'll even call the Lexington Police Department to report you missing. But you see, they might go up and down the streets of Parkertown searching and ask, has anybody seen my child? And if they can't find you out there, they might go to Southside Village and ask, has anybody seen my child? Or they might go over to 4th Street and start asking, has anybody seen my child? And if they can't find you there, they might go down to Finch Park, down by the basketball court, and ask, has anybody seen my child? But you see, after we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we shouldn't have to ask, has anybody seen Jesus? When you get on your job or in the classroom, you shouldn't have to ask, has anybody seen Jesus? When you go places with the athletic club, you need to look around and make sure you take Jesus along. When you're hanging with your friends, your actions should let them know that you have Jesus with you. Because no one should look at your life and wonder if you have Jesus. You see, if you say you love him, you've got to let your little light shine so others may see him in you. Because see, I see him when you treat your neighbors right. I see him when you stand up for what's right, even if it costs your popularity. I see him when you avoid arguments on your job. I see him when you study for a test instead of cheating your way through school. And when you go to our jobs, do we gossip and stay in the middle of the mess? Or do we mind our own business and ignore all the small talk that shouldn't concern us anyway? Sometimes we just can't help always starting something. And then we try to hide our hands and act like it wasn't us. But I can only imagine, to me, that there was a child, this was a child who had never gave them any problems. This was a child who was always trying to do the right thing. This was God. This was a child from the Lord. This was, and I could imagine that they went around town and they were worried about where that they had lost the Son of the living God. Well, I guess that would cause a person to panic, because back in our text in verse 46, it said, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking questions. But that lets me know that you can't lose Jesus, because he said he would never leave you nor forsake you, because he's always there for us. He was in the place that he should have been in the first place. He was in the church in the presence of his heavenly Father. Or maybe I better leave that alone, because see, sometimes people come out of the world and they come into church hoping to find Jesus. They come into church hoping to find love. They come into church hoping to find a new family. But when they get here, they find out that sometimes we're worse than the people they left on the outside. So what kind of example is that for them? So the question is, what was Jesus doing? See, when he was out of the safety of his earthly parents, he did what was expected of him of his heavenly Father. Because, you know, y'all can't let some of these little jokers out of your eyesight. Some of these, you don't even know what your kid's going to do. You don't even know what they're going to go. You don't even know what they're going to say. So you can't let some people out of your sight. Because some people say, I can't trust a child no further than I can throw them, no further than I can see them. But some kids can be trusted. And this was one who could. See, Jesus wasn't out running the street, getting into trouble, using or selling drugs, fighting, stealing, breaking in something. He was where he needed to be, right there in his Father's house. And old Mary, his mother, yes, she was shocked that he was among scholars and teachers, but she still spoke sternly with him. And she asked him, why have you done this thing? We've been looking all over for you. You're only 12 years old, and you're still our responsibility. But you see, Jesus knew he was under their care, but he knew out of respect that he had to say that he had to be about his Father's business. And you see, that lets me know that you're not too young to be about your Father's business. Some of us come into church at the 10th hour. We can barely walk. We can barely participate in anything, but we'll get the same blessings that everybody else. But Jesus wants you to come when you're a youth. He wants you to come when you're young and tell about the goodness of God. Because if you have a mouth, you can speak for the Lord. Amen? Amen. And Jesus was glad to speak for his heavenly Father. He was excited. He wanted to let them know that he knew God as well. Now, he didn't say that he was the Son of God, but he let them know that he knew something about God. And he was excited, and he wanted to teach others and get them used to who God was. How many of y'all remember the Karate Kid? Now, if I ask my grandkids or if I ask some young people, they would say, oh, you mean the one with Jaden Smith? And that was so cute. He was so precious. That's what my grandkids said. But I'm talking about the one from the 80s. I'm talking about Danielson. And if you remember the Karate Kid, well, Mr. Daniel was getting bullied all the time. They had moved to a new city, and he was getting bullied. Every time he walked out his door, somebody wanted to whoop up on him. He couldn't even go to school. He couldn't even walk home. Somebody wanted to fight. Well, he enlisted the help of Mr. Miyagi. And Mr. Miyagi decided that he would take him on as a student. And he said, okay, Daniel, you got to agree that you got to do whatever I say. And Daniel agreed to it because he wanted some type of defense. He just wanted to be able to walk the streets and bullies didn't bother him. So when he got to Mr. Miyagi's house, Mr. Miyagi, what did he do? He handed him a paintbrush and a can of paint. And he said, Daniel, I want you to paint the fence. He said, paint the fence. And Daniel began to paint the fence. And he told him to use his wrist. It's all in the wrist. He said, paint the fence. So Daniel painted a little part of the fence. He says, I'm finished. He said, no, Daniel. He looked around the whole patio. He said, paint the whole fence. And when Daniel had finished with that, he said, and did you get to the outside of the fence yet? So anyway, Daniel went home, and the next day he came back, and Mr. Miyagi says, wax the car. Yeah. And Daniel said, okay. So wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. And anytime Mr. Miyagi came back and Daniel wasn't doing it quite right, he would tell him, no, Daniel, you got to do it like this, Daniel, son. You got to wax on with your right, wax off with your left. So Daniel's son, he finished off that car, and he says, I finished the car. He said, finish all my cars. Wax all the cars. Daniel just got to thinking, so he went on home, and the next day he just knew he was going to learn some karate. He was excited. He couldn't wait. And then when he got back, Mr. Miyagi handed him two pieces of sandpaper. He said, sand the floor. He said, sand the floor. Sand the floor. And Daniel would begin to be mad. He was upset. He said, I'm not going over here no more. Just forget about it. I don't care about karate. I'm not over here to be your helper every day. He said, you haven't even taught me a thing about karate. But see, when Mr. Miyagi called him back, because Daniel was hot-headed, he was mad, he was ready to go. He called him back, and then he let him know that he had been teaching him all the time. He even told him how to breathe when he was waxing the car. He even told him how to breathe when he was sanding the floor. So Daniel's son, he threw a couple of punches at him. And when Mr. Miyagi threw a couple of punches at Daniel's son, Daniel was able to block. He was waxing on and waxing off. And see, Jesus wants to teach us. And that's what he's teaching us now. Sometimes we go through things and we just don't understand why. We don't understand why this is happening to me. But see, there are seasons in our life. There are things that God asks us to do that we can't figure out. He's preparing us to deal with the mess that this devil is going to throw at us. And we're going to know how to handle it. And we're going to come out victoriously. Amen? Because later on in his ministry, he would choose a group of men. And he chose them and he called them his disciples. And no, I'm sure that you might ask why. Why this ragtag group of guys with their baggage, their faults, their failures. And don't forget about their fears and their lack of faith. And their dull comprehension, because Jesus himself even says, oh, ye of little faith. He says, how long am I going to have to suffer you? How long am I going to have to be with you? But you see, God does the choosing. He knows exactly what he's doing. Because if man did the choosing, I'm sure I wouldn't be standing here before you today with my lack of faith, my doubts, my flaws, and my sins. Because see, I'd rather stand here before you today than to stand before God, and he asked me, why didn't you preach my word? Yeah. Not because, well, man said women weren't supposed to preach. Or they don't like me, Lord. I just can't preach. But see, I'd rather do what God say than what man say. Amen? Amen. And even looking at these misfits, you might say, even though God does the choosing, but he chose some of the most temperamental, undependable apostles there was. Yes, they're human, like us. They were self-centered. Sometimes they didn't get along with the group. And often they didn't believe Jesus until he backed up his word with some actions. Y'all remember Thomas said, hey, until I touch the handprints, I'm not even going to believe that. And sometimes they mistreated people, even feeding the 5,000. They told Jesus to send them home. We ain't got no food for them. We got enough food. We can't even go into town. What do you want, just go into town and buy food for all these people? And 5,000, he wasn't even talking about the women and the children. And also, how about how they treated the prostitute who anointed Jesus' feet? And, you know, one of them was a thief, and they betrayed Jesus for money. Two of them sent their mom to ask Jesus for a higher place in heaven. And then when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, all the disciples took off, leaving him all by himself. Simon Peter even denied him three times. And he said he would never ever do it. Well, the first question you must ask yourself, are you willing to be a disciple? Are you willing to be a Matthias? That is called a learner. And if you say yes, then you have to study. Are you studying the word of God? And there are so many ways that we can study the word of God. We've got everything to our access nowadays. We've not only got the written word in the Bible, we've got online, we've got audio, we've got YouTube, we got everything. But are you studying your Bible? Are you memorizing some Bible verses? Because if you just take my word, I might miss a word up here one day. But you've got to take God's word for yourself. Amen? Are you praying? And along with prayer comes fasting. God changes things. Prayer does change it. It gets his attention. And fasting gets his attention even faster. Get it? Are you serving God? In other words, are you a role model for others? Can they see God in you? Can they see that you have not left Jesus behind? Amen? You see, you've either got to serve him, and some people want to be served. Well, there was a story of a great violinist who wanted to make a point. And he told everybody that he was going to come out playing a $20,000 violin. And he said he was going to have a concert. So he filled the concert hall to capacity. And he came out and began to play the violin. And as he played the violin halfway through the concert, he threw the violin down and he broke it and he stomped on it. And the people was terrified. They was horrified. They just couldn't believe what they were seeing. And the maestro walked off stage. And then someone else came out and said, the maestro wanted you to know that was a $20 violin. And that he came, and then the maestro came back out to play the $20,000 violin. But see, my point is that very few people could tell the difference. Because it's not the violin that makes the music. It's the violinist. Amen? And that's the point of discipleship. No matter how unqualified, how frail, how weak we are, Christ is the violinist. We're just the violin. It's all about him. He can use anybody. But the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power be of God and not of us. So it's not about you. It's all about God. Amen? And Jesus is waiting on your yes, just like he did on his disciples. And through them, he transformed the world. And through us, he can completely transform our day and time now. But you've got to let God use you. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to study. I'm willing to pray. I'm willing to learn. Amen? Amen. God wants to help you transform some people. Because see, if you trust God, he'll do it through you. Amen? Because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And you see, the Bible doesn't sugarcoat the nature and deprivation of man. There's one long, messy string of people from Adam all the way down to John the Revelator, down to us. And we all are a work in progress. Amen. And of grace and mercy, it better be amazing, because if it wasn't, we're in trouble. Amen. So I thank God for his grace and his mercy. Yeah. And that's the good news, that he can use us all, even somebody like us, even somebody like me. And he shall be called Wonderful. He shall be called Counselor. He shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And according to the book of Revelations, he is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he shall be called the Lily of the Valley and the Bright and the Morning Star. And he said that I am the bread of life. He said, I am the Lamb of God. I am the light of the world. I am also a teacher. I am the rabbi, and I am your savior. They called him Emmanuel. He said, God with us. In Ephesians, call him the chief cornerstone. See, when you become a Christian, you become a part of that cornerstone church, a lively church built up of us, when we accept God as our Savior. Yes. And you see, Hebrew called him the high priest, the father of us all. Yes. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes. And no man can come to the Father but by me. Yes. All you got to do is trust him and put your faith in him. Yes. And I want to know, what do you call Jesus? Yes. Who do you call Jesus? Yes. Do you call him Lord? Do you call him your Savior? Is God your Savior? Is he the master of your life? Is he your potter? Because sometimes I have to tell him to break me and make me and do whatever you need to do with me, Lord, because God will do it. Sometimes I have to call him in the middle of the night when I can't call my friends, when there's no one around. But I call him, and before I can wake up, he's made everything all right because he's given me the peace that I need to go back to sleep and know that everything is going to be all right. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? What do you call him? Do you call him your shepherd? Because he will be your shepherd. He's got everything you need. He leadeth you beside the still waters. God will. Won't he do it for you? What do you call him? Do you call him your Lord? Do you call him when your children won't act right? Do you call him when your husband won't come home at night? What do you call him? Or maybe I should say, when do you call him? Do you call him in the morning? Do you call him in the noonday? And do you call him at night? Well, I try to call him all the day long. Because, see, I can't live without Jesus. I can't breathe without Jesus. I don't want to be without Jesus. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? But I can't do it without Jesus. I ask him to order my steps in the Lord. Because if I know if he orders my steps, everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. When I leave my home, everything is going to be all right. When you let your children leave, you got to ask him to be there for them. Because you can't always be with your children everywhere they go. You don't always know what they're going to do when they leave your sight. But God does. And God will build a fence all around him. I ask God to be a fence all around me. Every day. Amen. Amen. You see, Jesus alone is hope for the world. He's head of the church. He's peace of the mind. He's joy of the heart. And he's rest for the weary. The Savior of my soul. If you will, rest to your feet.